Hello, good morning. How are you guys? ¿Cómo están? Bien. My name is Daniel De León. I am one of the pastors here at Westside Church International. And today is one of the last Sundays of the decade. How crazy is that to think, right? So today we're celebrating something special. I am very happy that all of you guys are here. As I said, my name is Daniel De León, but you can call me Mambo. That's my nickname, and it's just easier to remember. And as I said, I'm very happy just to be with you guys. I feel like I'm with in a family. And I don't know if you, I was thinking about family, and I don't know, for some reason it came to my mind, like, when you think about family, it's like when you go to, maybe a lot of you are going to go back home for Christmas, and you're going to have all these different weird interactions with family. You have, the crazy uncle, and you have, the fun cousin, and you have the grandma and the grandpa. So, but I know that for a lot of you, these times are times that are hard. So that it reminds you hard times. It reminds you painful times. So that's why I feel that today is special. It's special having you here, in that even though there is probably pain in your life right now going on, I want to tell you that God is with you, that God is with us. And that's why we are here, because we have a faithful God, regardless what's happening in your heart right now, regardless what's happening in your life, God is faithful, and he loves us, and he's a rock in our lives, regardless how we feel, regardless what we're going through. But that is not the message of today. I just felt like God was telling me to tell you this morning, because he wants to tell that to my own life. And it's actually a little bit of what we are going to be talking about this morning. So how about we pray before we start? So is God the one who's speaking into our lives, speaking into those specific wounds that we have, into those hopeless places of our lives? So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, because we are here because we want to encounter you. Thank you because we are here because of your love. And I want to pray this morning, Lord, for you to just speak into our lives, that you would use your word, that it never returns empty, and that you would speak into the things that we have doubts about, the things that are painful. And I want to pray for each one of us, that we get to experience your joy and your peace and your faithfulness, in Jesus' name, amen. So as you guys saw and as you guys noticed, we are today celebrating something special. So today is not like every Sunday. Today is actually one of the most important Sundays, I would say, in the whole year, because in the past 4 weeks, we have been celebrating something called Advent. And Advent, maybe for a lot of you, is something familiar. It's not familiar for me. I am from Mexico. I grew up in a little Presbyterian church. My mom, who, by the way, is here, she's visiting from Mexico. Yeah, thank you. And my sister just landed, so my family is here. My mom would take us to church, to me and my sister, to this small little Presbyterian church down in South Veracruz. Minatitlan, Veracruz, is the hardest place on earth. And so my mom would pretty much force us, which I'm thankful for that she would take us to church. My dad would stay home watching football, soccer. And I wanted to stay with my dad, but my mom wouldn't let us to do that. But where I grew up, we didn't really celebrate Advent. So if you don't know what Advent means, even if this is, whether this is your first time at this church, or maybe you have been a Christian for your entire life, but this is not part of your tradition, Advent in the Latin means coming. So it's pretty much 4 weeks before Christmas, where we prepare our hearts for this huge event that happened in human history called the birth of Christ. So for the past 3-4 weeks, we've been talking about Advent, and the purpose is for all of us to be ready, to kind of like understand, to kind of like to think and meditate about what it means, this sacrifice and the birth of Christ and the sacrifice that God made sending his only son to this earth. And we also are, as you can tell, we're also celebrating Christmas, right? And I think all of you or most of you will be celebrating Christmas. However, let me tell you this. I am a person, if you know me, I am someone who is not a very formal person. I don't like formality for some reason. I don't know why. I kind of wanted to preach today in a hat. And, you know, I wanted, if I could preach in my flip-flops, I would. But it's Christmas, so I have to be a little bit more formal. But formality is not something that is like, you know, I studied law. I went to law school in Mexico. God already forgave me for that. And lawyers are formal. So I never found myself, you know, really, you know, like in that world, I didn't really like that because I'm not a formal person. And some of the things that I don't like that much is tradition, okay? So I'm not saying that tradition is bad. What I'm saying is I don't like tradition a lot because sometimes I feel like we do things because of a tradition. And when we do things due to a tradition, many times we are worshiping or we're doing those things or we're focusing more on the tradition than the actual meaning of why we're doing things. Does that make sense? And I don't like that. So today, we're here celebrating Christmas because that's what we're supposed to do, right? Or maybe you're here for the first time because your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your, you know, relative brought you here. Or maybe you're part of Westside and you really didn't wanna come. You wanna stay home and watch the Broncos or watch whatever. But you have to be here, right? Because this is what we're supposed to do. And when we come here, we get like a palomita, right? Like we check it out from our list. But let me tell you this, that we are not doing this. We're not celebrating Christmas, the birth of Christ, because of a mere tradition. If that is the reason why we are here, then we haven't really understood God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's power for our lives. Because God's love and God's power and God's grace is through Jesus Christ is why we are celebrating today. So if you're coming here with that idea, if you're coming to church, and I want to tell you, either whether you have been coming to church your entire life or whether you have never come to church, never gone to church ever, I feel like sometimes we have this idea about church. And I feel like me growing up, my understanding of church was this place that I was supposed to go and that I would always have to put a smile on my face, right? Like this place that I go to in order to learn how to behave well. So we don't come to church to learn how to behave. We don't come to church because we think we're better than the rest of the world. I feel like a lot of people sometimes think about church and they think like, oh yeah, people who have no problems, people who are so close to God, people who have figured things out are the ones who go to church. And let me tell you this, that's just so not true at all. We come to church because we need a savior. We come to church because we're broken people who needs to be rescued by a perfect God. So if your idea, if you come in here to this church or to any church for that matter, is to see perfect people, let me tell you that you're going to be disappointed. Because as Tech said in the beginning, we're not perfect people at all. We're broken people who need God on the daily basis and sometimes on the daily, like minute by minute. There are days that I need God every single hour of my life. Why? Because I am a pastor and I figure things out? Not at all. It's because I am a broken man who needs a perfect Savior. So we come to church to worship the one who is worthy to be worshiped, that is Christ. We come to church because we want to learn how to love each other. You know, I think that churches are the places that you can feel the most close to other people, but it's also the place where you can get the most hurt by other people. Because it's a place of intimacy, it's a place of closeness. So we come to this place to learn how to love others, to learn how to love God, to learn from Him, in order for us to understand what God wants in our lives. We come to church because we need a Savior. Because let me tell you this, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, you and I need to be saved. You and I need to be saved. And what do we need to be saved about or from? We need to be saved from sin. We need to be saved about the things that we struggle with. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit more. Because as I'm talking about the birth of Christ, I don't want to just talk about that. I don't want to just talk about what's happening in Luke 2 that we're going to be talking about today. I want us to go a little bit behind in this story, back in this story, in order for us to understand why we are celebrating today. And the Bible, so in order for us to do that, we need to go to the Bible. So I think we're going to have the verses, the passage in the screen. If not, you have your Bibles with you. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, talks about this story of Joseph and Mary and how they had a baby in almost like, not almost, actually, it was in a miraculously way. And Joseph and Mary were pretty much teenagers. And they were married, and something incredible happened in the life of this couple. And pretty much is that they had a baby, but it was miraculous in the sense that not that they were trying to have a baby and they couldn't have it. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit pretty much came to Mary and He put the seed in Mary's womb and she conceived Jesus. So this is something that had never happened before and it will never happen again. So what we know in the story is that back in the day, the Roman Empire was ruling over the earth. The Roman Empire had conquered many countries, including the people of Israel. And this guy, his name was Caesar Augusto. How do you say that in English? Caesar what? August? Augustus. Oh, my gosh. Okay. In Spanish, sounds better. Nah, just kidding. But Caesar Augusto, he decided to have a census. Okay? He wanted to count how many people were in the empire. So it was the tradition. I don't know if it was the law or it was a custom, but pretty much people needed, in a census, people needed to go back to the places of origin. So I am from Mexico City, right? I would need to go back from Denver to Mexico City for that census. Or if you are from Costa Rica or from Argentina or from Peru, you would need to go back to the city that you were born. So we see that Joseph and Mary, Joseph was in Nazareth, but he was in the northern part of Israel, and they had to go back to Bethlehem. but it was in the southern part of Israel, and Bethlehem was a very little small town. However, when they go back, Joseph and Mary were in Mexican time. In other words, they were late. So everything was booked. So they went to the Marriott, and they couldn't find anything. So then they went to the Hilton, and it was already booked too. They even tried the Holiday Inn, and nothing. It was completely full. So because there was no place for them to stay, the Bible says that they had to go to a shelter of animals. And that's where Jesus was born. And I don't know, you probably grew up in the country or in a farm, but or you probably were born in a city or grew up or were raised in a city, but a shelter of animals is not the nicest place. You know, it's dirty. It's not fancy at all. And that's where the King of Kings was born. That's what the Bible says. And today, you know, you could probably argue and say, well, Mambo, today there are a lot of people who are born in places like that and even worse. Yes, but no kings. Kings are not born in places like that. If you follow the news and you see, you know, what is it, Prince William and what's his wife's name? Kate? Yeah, Kate. You know, thank you. So, Kate, it's big news all over the world. When they had a baby, everybody, you know, wants to hear about the royal baby, and they're like special, you know, shows on the TV channels because it's a big deal. And we have the greatest king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who was born in this shelter of animals. That is something that is not common. So as we see this scene happening, you know, when a baby is born, I'm still single, but I see like a lot of you guys post on your Facebook, or you can see all of these videos, you know, when you're going to reveal the gender of a baby. There's like all these crazy things happening now, you know, that creative things, and other things are kind of not that creative. But it's a big celebration, right? You invite your family, you invite your friends, because you're going to reveal the gender of the baby. So God is actually the one who had that idea first. And it wasn't about revealing the gender of the baby, but because Jesus Christ had been born, he invited guests. And it's not that, you know, the way that the Lord did it, the way that God did it, it's not that he created a Facebook event, or it's not that he sent out an invite, or that he sent out, you know, flyers or invitations. He decides to do it in the most radical way that you can think. And he decides to invite the most humble people of the time. But those were the shepherds. And he sends out an angel. So shepherds were not people who were in any type of extreme sports. They were not people who had reputation in the society. They were people who were the most humble of their time. One of the most humble people of their time. And God decides to send this angel to invite the shepherds to come and to worship and to be part of this huge event that is the birth of Jesus. And when the angel shows up to these shepherds, the Bible says that they freaked out, that they were completely terrified. Could you imagine, like, you know, you're working, you're chilling, you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden, like, a ghost shows up and starts talking to you. And the Bible says that the glory of God was around them. I don't know what that means, but it's probably like, you know, there was some type of shining light around them. And the Bible says that these shepherds were completely scared because of this. But this is what I want us to pay attention to, what the angel said to these shepherds. It says in Luke, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Bible says that these were good news for them. Not to be afraid, because something amazing had happened. And that is something that was that a Savior had been born, and that Savior was Jesus Christ. In other words, today, you humble people, you have the honor to witness the greatest event in human history. God Himself has been born, and He was born to rescue you, to rescue the lowest of the lowest, to rescue the world, to rescue the humanity, to rescue those who need a Savior. And as I was saying before, why do we need a Savior? And I'm going to talk about something that probably is not politically correct. You know, me growing up in the church, when I was little, pastors and in the churches, you would go to a church and the only thing that people or pastors would preach about were the things that you did wrong all the time. And I think that a lot of people got tired of it. You know, it's like, I just go to a church and they're just judging me, right? I feel judged every single time I go to a church. But what I have seen is that now churches went to the other side of the pendulum. And now we don't want to talk about those things. Now we don't want to talk about sin. Because we have put ourselves, human beings, as the center of the universe. And we're the ones who decide what is right and what is wrong. That is the consequence of postmodernism. Everything is relative. God is relative. The Bible is relative. I live my lifestyle however I want to live my lifestyle. I have my worldview whatever I want to have my worldview. I do my things. And when we go and point out in love to people the things that are sinful in God's eyes, our response is, you're judging me. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with your church. However, the Bible says that all of us, each one of us, are born in sin. And this happened since Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed the Lord. Sin entered into the world. And what it did is that it separated us from God. We cannot have a relationship with God because of the sin that we are born with. So sin is not only the things that we do, it's something that we are born with. And probably if you can think about that, you know, like, well, Mambo, I don't know. What does sin mean? Sin means missing the mark. It means, and the Bible says that there's absolutely no one on this earth, on this universe, that is good. No one is good. Have you ever lied? Have you ever done things that you regretted? Have you ever hurt someone? Have you ever thought things that are lied about yourself? Have you ever thought things that are lied about other people? Have you ever wondered what is going on in my country? It doesn't matter where you're from. If you're from Mexico, like me, you're gonna be thinking about that. If you're from the States, you're from a country in Africa, you're from a country in Asia. That is that sin touch every single part of reality, every single part of our lives. It touch our health, it touch our emotions, it touch the cosmos, it touch science, it touch philosophy, it touch everything. It touch every single area of your life. Of our lives and in reality. Have you ever tried to change yourself? Have you ever wondered, why is it that I cannot change? Why is it that I cannot grow? Why do I keep coming back to the same thing over and over again when I have in my mind and I know in my mind that I'm supposed to be doing something different? That's because of the sin that eats in our lives. And that sin separated us from God for all of the eternity. But that's hard to preach today because we have become our own gods in a way and in a sense. But if we don't understand this part, then the birth of Jesus makes no sense. If we don't understand this part, then celebrating Christmas, it doesn't make any sense. What is the first thing that someone who is an addict has to accept in order for him to recover? What is the first thing? He has to acknowledge that he has a problem. You cannot fix the problem unless you acknowledge that you have a problem. And let me tell you this. We have a problem that is called sin. But God has a solution that is called Christ. That's why we all need to be saved. All of us. Each one of us. We need of this perfect Savior because the only what sin brought wasn't not all the things that I just described. In one word, what sin brought, it brought death. Death in everything. Death in relationships, in health, in the world, in life, in everything. And the only solution for that sin, for that death, is that someone, and the ransom for sin is death. So someone had to pay for that sin. It was either you or it was a perfect lamb that is Jesus Christ. And you know what God decided? I'm gonna send my only son to die for the sins of the world. Instead of Mambo dying, I'm gonna send my son to die for Mambo. Instead of Laura, instead of Marta, instead of Enrique, instead of Pancho, whoever you are, God sent his only son to die for you and for me. Because of the sin that we have in our lives, guys. And I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. And this is not a message of judgment. This is actually good news. And that's why the angel told the shepherds, guess what, guys? Don't be afraid because there is good news. The problem that you guys had, those are bad news. The sin that you guys had, those are bad news. But let me tell you this. God the Father sent a Savior to die for your life and for my life. And guess what? You guys need to go and check this out. So the shepherds go, they check it out, they see Jesus, and you know what's the next thing that they do? You know, they go, and the Bible says that they spread the word. They went and shared what they saw. So if you see me this passionate, it's because if you're a Christian, our duty or privilege or obligation as Christians is to go and to proclaim this good news to a world that is in desperate need of Christ. And if you don't believe me, just go downtown Denver and you're going to see all these people who have no hope and who are finding and looking for hope in the wrong places. And you and I look for hope in the wrong places on the daily basis. But the Bible says that there are good news. And those good news are Christ himself. Amen. Amen. Those good news are Christ himself. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden our lives get perfect. Because they don't, believe me. If you're close to me, you know for sure that my life is not perfect at all. But you know for sure that there's someone that I can go to on the daily basis. That is Christ. That is him. I can go to him regardless what I'm going through, regardless how I am feeling. He has become now my rock because he's interceding for me in the throne of God. When I mess things up, as my mom was sharing with me, you know, when we mess things up, the Son is interceding for us. Because God loves us so much. Would you give your Son to die for someone who's a criminal? I can bet you whatever you want that you wouldn't. You wouldn't. No one would. And that is exactly what God did. I'm going to ask Tech to please come and the rest of the worship team. So we celebrate Christmas not because it's a tradition, not because that is the thing that we are supposed to do. We celebrate Christmas because the Bible talks about this baby. It refers about this baby, and it portrays this baby as the following. The Bible says, and I could give so many nouns, but I'm just going to give some. The Bible says that this baby is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, the Almighty, Bread of Life, the Deliverer, Emmanuel, that it means God with us, Father forever, first and last, firstborn of all creation, the Good Shepherd, High Priest, the Holy One, I Am, Image of God, King of Kings, Lamb of God, and so on and so forth. And you can find more and more. And there's no other book in human history that portrays whoever they're worshiping in the same way that the Bible portrays Jesus. Because the Bible doesn't give any space for us to doubt that Jesus himself is God. And that God sent him to die for you and for me. In other words, you and I need to be reconciled with God.
Amen.
You and I need to be reconciled with him. Because we got a problem. The problem is the sin in our lives. But there are good news. The good news is Christ himself.
Amen.
And he has promised to restore our lives. And we preach these things and we believe these things not because it's just a nice little concept that we want to preach every year because it's part of our tradition. No, we believe these things because we believe that there is power in Christ. There is power in him. You know what the problem is? That we don't go and take it. That's the problem. Because we don't have enough faith or because we don't want to let go things. But there is power in Christ. God doesn't lie to us. We're the ones who have to go and take it. It's like when you go to the gym, right? When you work out, like you have all these machines available to you. But if you don't go and actually start working out, your muscle is not going to grow just sitting on the couch eating Cheetos. It's one of my favorite things to do, by the way. You got to go there. You got to go there. You got to take it. You got to believe it. And sometimes you got to believe it. Sometimes you go to the gym when you don't want to go to the gym. You just go there like, oh my gosh, man, like, this is hard. I don't want to. You're there like kind of like half asleep. And sometimes coming with God, you got to come with God even when you don't want it, even when you don't feel it, because you know you need it. Because there are good news. These are good news for us. Do you want to be reconciled with God? Let's all close our eyes. Let's all of us close our eyes. I can see you from here, so I know if you're not closing your eyes. And I want to give the opportunity to you.
Yes.
If you have not received Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that.
Yes.
Because that's the best decision you can do in your entire life. And it's not that things all of a sudden that your wife or your husband are going to become nice to you. But it means that God will be with you. And as you pray for him or for her, that we can trust that God is in control of our lives. We can trust that regardless where we're going to, regardless the thing that we're living right now, that there's always hope, that this earth is not our hope anymore. If you think someone said one time, like Mambo, and they didn't say that to me, I heard this story, they said, man, God asks for a lot, and I don't know if I'm willing to give a lot. And this other person responded, no, God doesn't ask for a lot. God asks for everything. God asks for everything, and He wants your life because He loves you. He wants your life because He loves you. And He loves you so much that He came and was born as a baby in this shelter of animals and went to the cross and died for you and for me. If you want to receive Christ, I'm going to pray, and you can pray with me. Dear God, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you. I want to take your forgiveness. I want you to forgive me. I open the heart of my life. I open the doors of my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Because that is why we celebrate Christmas. Come into my life. I give control to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for your love, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'm going to finish with this. This baby said in Luke 4, two chapters later, this is what he said when he became a man. This is God speaking to you and speaking to me. So I want you to pay attention to this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And we believe in this, and this is why we celebrate Christmas in this, because it has eternal implications, and these eternal implications are found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.